Today, on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
This is such a critical issue, especially as we increasingly recognize migraine as a systemic illness that intersects between chronic pain, broader women's issues, and other kind of comorbid conditions.
Today, Drs. Karupula and Chadwani join the podcast to discuss CGRP and women's health migraine across the hormonal lifespan in this PeerDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporter.
Hello, I'm Dina Kuruvilla, a neurologist and headache and facial pain specialist at the Brain Health Institute in Westport, Connecticut.
And I'm Brij Chandwani, orofacial pain specialist practicing in New York and Connecticut and adjunct clinical professor at Tufts University, Boston.
Thanks for joining me, Brij.
It's my pleasure to be here, Dina.
Today, we will be discussing migraine as a women's health condition, with a particular focus on CGRP biology and how hormonal changes across the lifespan from menstruation through menopause shape migraine risk, severity, and treatment needs.
This is such a critical issue, especially as we increasingly recognize migraine as a systemic illness that intersects between chronic pain, broader women's issues, and other kind of comorbid conditions. To start, Dina, can you explain why migraines is so often considered a women's health issue and why that framing is important clinically?
I'd be happy to. Most of the patients I see in my practice are women. The incidence of migraine within the United States is around 43%, compared to men, which is about 18%. And the migraine prevalence globally is around 12 to 15%. We see different peaks throughout a woman's lifetime, and the main culprit for those peaks of migraine increase in frequency is estrogen. Typically, we see a peak during the menstrual years and during the perimenopausal years. And during those two peaks, we see that migraine gets out of control because of a drop in estrogen or declining estrogen, and as a result, CGRP goes up. Do you see that in your practice as well?
I do. It's not always as clear in being an orofacial pain specialist where I deal with more mechanical issues. These patients are not predictable in nature. I would see patients where they have sudden flare-ups, and as soon as I talk to the primary care or OBGYN, I get a response like that. Okay, maybe there is a new variable in the mix which is complicating issues. But I would say 5-10% of my patients, I have to go back to the drawing board and be surprised with hormones and estrogen, how it's influencing the clinical scenario.
Right. That's really interesting. You know, within my practice, I have made my own women's health checklist to specifically ask women, are you having migraine? Are you having hot flashes, night sweats, vaginal dryness, mood changes, and so on? And are you monitoring your periods? Because migraine has become such a part of women's health. So that's why I've made my own checklist. Do you have something like that in your practice?
Actually, it's interesting. During my training, we had a psychologist who really went over the history taking. And he had a checklist which looked at really psychological factors, sleep, migraine, women's health, and other systems review as part of the systems review. And I still kind of follow that checklist because these things intertwine in such an unpredictable way all the time. So,
right. I've been thinking more and more, why do these things intertwine so much? And I've read in some animal studies that certainly that decline in estrogen produces this boost in CGRP, and fluctuations in estrogen cause fluctuations in serotonin specifically. So I think there's all of, it seems like estrogen is really the puppeteer And it's controlling all of these different neuroinflammatory factors and neurotransmitters in the body that result in all of these comorbid pain conditions in addition to migraine.
That makes sense. What do you think about kind of CGRP and other conditions and estrogen, how it impacts all that?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, when a patient comes in now with, we'll take menstrual migraine as an example, the definition is really when a person experiences a migraine attack 2 days before the onset of bleeding, all the way into 1 to 3 days after they've started bleeding. That's pure menstrual migraine, when they only have migraine attacks around their period. And then we have menstrually related migraine, which is when they have migraine attacks around their period and also at other times in their cycle. And so depending on what disease they have between these two menstrually related subtypes, if a person is having 4 or more headache days a month or any number of headache days with disability, I'm starting them on a preventive treatment for migraine.
Interesting.
And the American Headache Society actually put out a consensus statement just a couple of years ago that said we should use CGRP medications as our first line for prevention. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that makes sense, especially considering the safety profile compared to some of the older drugs. And even I find that tolerance is better too. And it impacts quality of life. It goes beyond just migraine. It's an issue of quality of life that we are improving.
Right. And, you know, I have found that we do have around 1% to 2% of people who have chronic migraine and other chronic pain conditions. I do find that CGRP sometimes is not good enough as a solo monotherapy for prevention. I sometimes have to add on and layer other preventives, and then also sometimes continuous estrogen to keep those estrogen levels from fluctuating. Is there a role in your practice for estrogen?
Absolutely. When it comes to things like burning mouth syndrome, it's very clear cut. But then as soon as migraine and other kind of facial pain conditions are kind of intertwined, the relation is not clear cut.
Right.
What do you think about kind of how the Eastern medicine versus Western medicine kind of are incorporated in headache medicine?
More and more these days, people are asking me for non-medication approaches to add to their mainstream approaches. And so, you know, a couple of little tricks I found in my practice, if I have someone going through perimenopause, which is happening earlier and earlier, I had somebody last week who's 38 and going through perimenopause and hasn't had a period in several months now, I sometimes will add on supplements, for example, like black cohosh has some small studies that show it can be helpful for migraine prevention and also for other perimenopausal symptoms like hot flashes and night sweats. So sometimes I add those integrative medicine approaches to mainstream. How about you?
I do a fair bit. I practice acupuncture in my practice, but I often tell patients kind of overall, at times, we need a good Band-Aid where some of the Western medicine is really a good Band-Aid. And then on the other hand, the Eastern medicine is more lifestyle changes that would sustain the benefit while we have the CGRP modulators allowing pain-free states while the neuroplasticity is improving. So I use that model and kind of the Eastern and Western kind of medicines do complement really well, at least when it comes to headaches and facial pain management.
Absolutely. You mentioned sleep, and that has been a key factor that I've brought up in all of my conversations. And many people these days are coming in with their own health monitors to track sleep, specifically the REM sleep and the deep sleep. So I do tend to look at their sleep cycles. And I've noticed specifically in women, because estrogen acts on so many different chemicals throughout the body, that the REM sleep cycle and the deep sleep definitely goes down around menstruation and definitely in the perimenopausal period.
And kind of in a clinical scenario, the deep sleep has been going down because of cultural kind of influences. So that makes our job a little bit trickier. People are just not exercising enough. Influence of blue screen. So that's kind of definitely a very important aspect.
Right. And with the sleep component, for my women who are going through perimenopause, I sometimes use melatonin, 1 to 3 milligrams, or magnesium, 200 to 600 milligrams, just to help with sleep, migraine prevention, and all the other laundry list of things that happens during menopause.
Talking about laundry list, would you have a kind of a concluding remarks on what would be a key takeaway between impact of estrogen, CGRP modulators, and kind of adjunct therapies?
Right. I would say, at least for me, one size doesn't fit all. Every single patient is different. And oftentimes, I have to ask the patient upfront what their treatment goals are. But most patients in my practice are on a preventive treatment. All of them get an as-needed emergency treatment. And I usually offer them integrative medicine approaches and lifestyle changes.
That's amazing. That's such a good service you're doing.
Thank you. No, it's so important to have a multidisciplinary approach with both of our specialties.
Right.
Ultimately, understanding the interplay between hormones, CGRP biology, and chronic pain allows us to take a more individualized, multimodal approach to migraine care in women.
I agree, Dina. This has been such a good discussion, and this reinforces the value of interdisciplinary, individualized treatment for migraine and facial pain. Thank you. And thank you to our audience for joining us.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PureDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at PureDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions, please leave us a review in your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@PureDirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You could also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing, Medical News Roundup, and just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to our guests, Drs. Karubula and Chadwani. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.